Just to give you a prelude to what we're going to talk about today, God has set up a format for us. We call it heaven to earth government, the apostolic. And I'm beginning to understand the apostolic more and more and more every day, because that's God's design from the beginning. Everything that God did and everything he wants us to do began in the beginning, the way he set up things in the beginning. And the purpose of the apostolic is that God always has to have a person he uses to get himself into the earth realm. God has to get into the earth realm. And God has made it possible to put a man between him and earth. Amen. That he can get his plan. There's three things God wants to get to earth. Three things, and I wrote them down. The first thing he wants to get to earth is his word. He wants to get into the earth realm because his word is what changes the thing. Second thing he had to get is his will. It has to be performed and executed. And the third thing he had to get in the realm is his plans. And God's plan always has to be fulfilled. And all of these things takes the person. All these things takes the man. And it has to come to what we call the apostolic government. Heaven to earth government. No more earth to heaven. See, we thought we had to try to make it happen from earth to heaven. All of our praying and all of our saying, trying to get God to do something for us. But God already has a plan in heaven that he has to get to earth, and he used government for that. Heaven to earth government. Everybody say heaven to earth government. But I want to show it to a couple of people or one in particular that failed at God's government. His name was King Saul. Everybody familiar with King Saul, right? He was God's government upon the earth. He was the king that represented the people of Israel. If you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel 15, we're going to see what God did through Samuel, or what he didn't do through Samuel, what he tried to do through Samuel. You know, God tried to do something through you, through us. And we fail him sometimes because of a lack of obedience. And I find out that partial obedience, half obedience, just not going to cut it. You know that certain thing, half obedience? Half of what God said and half of what you say. Half of what God instructed and half of the stuff you come up with to try to make it fit you. And trying to make it easy on you, but it doesn't get God's will done. And God really ain't pleased. I find this out reading this text this morning. God is not pleased until he's fully obeyed. And this lesson is to encourage us, not to punish us, but to encourage us that God wants us to win all the time. God never wants to fail. God's plan is always yea and amen. But look, just look at the first verse of Samuel 15. This is God's heaven to earth government coming to the prophet Samuel. Samuel also said, verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me. Now who sent him?
The Lord
sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, notice God didn't talk directly to Saul. Saul was king, but Saul represented a different government. Samuel represented heaven to earth government. Saul represented the earthly government. Now, we're going to find that God did a higher thing with David. David represented both governments. David, because of obedience, functioned in a heaven to earth and an earthly government. And that pleases, that's why David pleased the Lord so much, because his heart was so full of obedience. And so, thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in a way when he came up from Egypt. Now here's God's order, here's God's plan, that we were trying to get into the earth realm, and God's plan was very detailed. God's plan didn't leave any question. Sometimes you have a little question mark because you want to make sure the thing done right. You know, I got a habit of doing that. I ask questions because I don't want to mess up. You know what I'm saying? It just shows us what you want to do because I want to make sure I do it right, exactly like it was done. And sometimes you ask questions. Sometimes people don't ask enough questions. They put their own ideas in it. And then they fumble around, and then when they look up, that's not what God ordered. They mix their own feelings and emotion and idea and wisdom and their own creativity and a whole bunch of other stuff with it. It don't match up with God. So so God gave him some explicit detail. Why the detail here? The detailed instruction, and make sure when you get an order from God. Make sure it is from God, and that you get all the details. Some people run without details. You know, God said go, and they go with no instructions, no anything. Then they find out later it wasn't even God. Like apostles say, they ate too much that night. Now, here's the instruction. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy some of all that they have. Oh, okay. I thought that was a misprint in there, because that's not what Samuel did. Go and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man, watch the detail, and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel, and that's very detailed. Is it? And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites. Let me stop here. Finally, if you're obedient enough, if you obey God enough, sometimes God will trust your opinions and your ideas. When you're told to commit to him, he'll go along with you because your heart is totally for him. I just thought I'd add that in there. Go depart and get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. And others destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul... Everybody say, but Saul. And the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. The list go on and on. And would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that means worthless, or didn't. Was no value to them, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, now see, look, see, he could have invented something here. The word of the Lord came the first time by Samuel to give him an assignment. Now, I found out that when you do what God tells you to do, don't look for a thank you from God. because you did what you were supposed to do. But when that second word comes, see, that's what you got to be afraid of, the second word. Second word means I didn't do something right. And this second word came to Samuel to tell Saul, and it wasn't good. You see, go off the first word God gave. Do it right. Do it to the best of your ability. Go to the first word that your apostle tell you. Do it right to the best of your ability. Go to the first word that your employer tell you. Do it right. Do it good. And then you won't get a second word. If you do it right the first time, he don't have to come back and say you did a good job. Because his silence means you did a good job. Am I making sense? Well, the truth anyway. And so the second word came to Saul. It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. Now, that's strong words. God's saying this. It repented me. In other words, I'm sorry. Did God make a mistake in making Saul king? No, God didn't make no mistake. You see, when God called you to do something, God looked through the eyes of who he see, who he wants you to be. Now, during the process of time, Saul made some awkward turns in his life. Saul let some things get in him that shouldn't have got in him. Certain things as pride, victory over some wars that God had given him, he thought it was his own ability that did it. Sometimes you start off right, but sometimes you'll turn and without making corrections. I learned some stuff in geometry. I know I learned one thing in geometry. The shortest difference between 2 points is a straight line. And so what am I saying here is that if you do it like God tells you to do it, then you won't have any complaint with God. He won't have any complaint with you. And so get it right the first time. Are you with me? So it repented me, God says, that I made Saul king. You see it? So don't let success turn you from who you were when God called you. Because when God called you, there must have been something pleasing in him or in you. He saw in you. There was some favor that he saw in you. But there was a turning. That's why God can't prosper some people, because he knows that they're going to stop doing what he said do. They may not have started out that way. But you allow your soul, something to infiltrate your soul and to change your thinking about something, and your values change about something, and then that nasty word pride begin to creep up in your heart, and you begin to forget to depend upon the Lord thy God like Saul did. He thought the 200,000 footmen won the battle. Are you with me? I know it's about David that what made him so successful in the war. Every time David did something, there was a little word that he inquired of the Lord. Every time he did something, and I kept reading to see, and he had to go fight against these other people. But he said, then David inquired of the Lord, should I go against them or should I not? And God said, go for them with you. But Saul right here made some decision on his own here. It might have been a good thing to spare the Kenites. But I didn't see Saul inquired the Lord, whether should I save the Kenites or not. He just took it upon his own. You got to be careful when you get instructions. You got to be careful that the details come with fine print. And sometimes the fine print or sometimes that's, how would I say that? Sometimes that's unspoken rules. That makes sense? There are rules that govern us that are not really spoken, but God intend for you to follow them, because they're unspoken rules. In the realm of the spirit, there are unspoken rules. One of those spoken rules is the Holy Ghost. God will tell you something, and then all of a sudden you would try to get off and do something else, and the Holy Ghost says, nope, that's not what he said. Nope, that's not what he intended for you to do with that. Nope, that's not the way he wants you to go. But sometimes we get stubborn like Saul and rebellious like Saul and pay no mind to the Holy Ghost. See, I'm going to follow my own will. I'm going to follow what I believe is right. You see? But that don't make it right. So, God said, repented me that I made Saul king, for he is turned back from following me. And I stayed there a little while, and, you know, it don't look like a big deal here, you know, because he still got King Agag here to prove that he slew the Amalekites. You know, I still got all these proofs, all the best of sheep, because I got my own intention is to go and make sacrifice to the Lord. Because, you see, the whole thing with Saul was, if you didn't know it, Saul thought it was a great victory, and he was going to parade his victory throughout the city. Because he found out that after this, he went and built a monument to acknowledge himself, to brag on himself. God saw that. God saw his heart wasn't right toward the whole matter. And not only his heart wasn't right, but he didn't do what he said. It's very important that we follow instruction. If you don't know what instruction or acts, I just want to be sure this is what you want me to do. Apostle or supervisor, because my heart is to obey. I don't want to just do it because it seems like a good thing to do, but I want to do it right. And that's what God wants you to do it right. Now watch something here. So he told Samuel, he turned back from following me and had not performed my commandments. And the Bible says it grieved Samuel, and he cried all night unto the Lord. Now one translation said he was angry with Saul, and he cried all night unto the Lord about this whole situation here. Because Samuel had been a prophet a long time. He knew the voice of God. He knew the grace of God, but he also knew the wrath of God. And he knew when God speaks like that, as no good thing. And prophets don't like to be a barrier of bad news. They'd rather be a barrier of good news. Thing that exhort us. Thing that build her up. But sometimes prophet and apostle got to be a bearer of news that God instructed them to do. I see apostles sometimes, he make corrections sometimes. He don't like making correction. You think he get joy making correction? No, but warn to him if he don't say or do what God say do. Because he's turning some people around. Some people are not going to ever turn around because they're stuck in their own self. And what do you mean their own self? They got their own agenda, own idea of the way things should go. And so I don't know why he changed song. Apostle changed songs, that's not the one. I like that song. That's one of my favorite songs, Chuck. Just because he don't like it, that don't mean we don't like it. But they don't know what he sees the whole picture of God. And he knows what it takes to be able to get right into the socket with God. We stuck on emotions and ideas and feelings. But if God's going to take us where we need to go, we need to hearken to our apostle. He knows what he's doing. I'm going to say it again. He knows what he's doing. Amen. And he's going to take us from point A to point B. He's taking us from Egypt to the promised land. Like a modern day Moses. A deliverer. Amen. Now write this down. Write this. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul come to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and had been gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. You see, what is that place set up was some kind of monument. That's what a place where he can be esteemed. And Samuel came to Saul. Here's the bearer of some sad news now. But do you know when your heart is not right, and when you, I'm going to say like James, when you deceive yourself, see, he himself was deceived. Deceived to what? Thinking what he did was right. He couldn't see no error in what he did. That's, you know, you're going along, you're way off when you don't see your own error. You've convinced yourself so much that you're right, that you don't see your own errors. He just knew he was right. You know why he knew he was right? Because the people made him feel like he was right. Sometimes the people make you feel like you're right. Because you're right because you're doing what they want you to do. So they make you feel like you're right. And he watch how he's going to throw it on the people. They were applauding him. They were praising him. King Saul. That's why he got so mad when Saul slew his 1,000 and David slew the 10,000. Anybody read that before? Because he became jealous of David, because God used David in a mighty way in many victories, but David knew it wasn't him. David knew it was the Lord. See, Saul thought he was big. Samuel's going to say something in the next scripture I'm going to read that you're going to show you where he began the error. You see? Let God bring you where he wants you to go and don't you error. Let us be who God wants us to be and don't let our heart error. Don't let our soul error. Don't let our thinking error. Why? Because God's got somewhere he wants to go. You see? Keep our thinking straight. You see? I never did understood this when I was a little boy. My cousin had a mule, old siren. 12 o'clock, siren just quit working. Wouldn't do nothing. She just still walked to her house. Because siren just was siren. But my cousin had blindfolds on siren. And these blind, I didn't know what they were for as a little boy. And these blindfolds were to keep her looking straight, where she wouldn't be distracted by nothing. All she sees is the road she was plowing. And couldn't see nothing else. Sometimes we need some blindfolders on us. Some blinders where we can't be distracted when we're doing something for God. Because we get distracted, we're gonna let everything throw off our course. She wasn't supposed to get thrown off course. Sometimes people get thrown off course by letting other people distract them for what God told them to do. You don't have to answer to everybody. You don't have to make excuse for everything. Why you go to church all day week? That's too much church. Too much church. And you don't have to answer them. The Bible says don't answer a fool and his father. Now, Samuel said, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Can anybody answer that question? Did he? No. But he thought he did. That's how deceived he was. He told Samuel, Blessed be thou of the Lord, for I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, look what Samuel said. What meaning then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, everybody said they. It's so easy to blame somebody else for your mistake. Instead of taking account or accountability for yourself for your mistake. It's just easy. They had brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the... I wrote a note about that. Let me see, can I find it here? Let's see what I got here. Let's see. I got it somewhere. Help me, Lord. Can't read my own writing. Let's see. Yeah, I got it here. Just look what it is. Look. What should Saul have done? You do not understand authority if you allow the people who are under your authority to change the orders with their own ideas. And something else I wrote, I can't say. Somebody can read it. The own ideas and revelation. That's what it is. But listen. See, Saul allowed the people to change God's original order. Everybody say original order. There's always an original order. What do you mean original order? I never forget what the apostle said. He said, if I don't change something, don't you change it. Sometimes we know why we stop doing this, why we stop doing this. He said, I didn't change that. That's always the original order. And sometimes we change that because of our own ideas. Sometimes get involved, you know, our own revelation of what it should be. And that's a dangerous thing. Because when he come, he expect to see the same thing happening. Why we stop doing that? And I know it vexed his spirit sometimes because he didn't order that to stop. You see it? So we got to stay on assignment. Keep doing what we told to do. Just a little refresher course here. Just in case we stop doing what he said to do at the beginning. That's the original assignment. Don't get off the original assignment. But he allowed the people with new ideas, with new belief system, with new thought. You see, that's how Eve got deceived because Satan said, no, that's not what God meant. You know, you're not going to die because you eat this. No, you're just going to become wiser. And so sometimes people get that same temptation from the devil. No, and they say, oh, this ain't going to matter. So people told him, oh, it's not going to matter. We're going to take them and sacrifice them unto the Lord. Make an excuse for disobedience. A reason to disobey. People are always looking for a reason to disobey. And the devil gave you a good one. Apostles say, boy, I sure like world life to show up at the camp meeting. You know, if the world life at the camp meeting, you know, he didn't say that, but I'm saying this. If everybody, world life was at the camp meeting, we'll be in the overflow every night if we were showed up. But we got reason. You know, well, my fish died. I don't know, I just threw it out there. But the people changed their whole idea about what God told Samuel to tell Saul, and Saul went with what the people said. But that didn't change God's mind by correcting him. Because God said, I didn't call the people, Saul. I called you. You know, sometimes if you were supervisor on the job, you know, I really know about that. Oh, Lord, I had to almost read it. I just ain't gonna read it. And 16th verse. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, hold it. And I will tell thee, he stopped him from talking, because if he talking too much, he's gonna dig himself into a deeper hole. Say, hold it, don't say no more. Stop. Stay, and I will tell you what the Lord had said to me this night. He said unto him, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou was little, now or not. See, and that's where he started out at. This is where everybody starts out at. When little in their own sight. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, wilt thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king of Israel. He's saying, this is why the Lord anointed you. This is why the Lord chose you. This is why the Lord prospered you. This is why the Lord put you in that position. Because you kept yourself small in your own eyes. But somewhere down the line, you erred. See, he didn't start out like this. Saul didn't start out as a disobedient king. Saul was favored in the sight of God when he was living in his own eyes. So don't let things change you. Don't let people change you. Remain like God called you. Then you can keep being what God. God can still use you. Sometimes people wonder why God ain't using me no more. Back up. Rewind. And see, because God ain't changed. See where you got off a little bit at. Oh, I know what I want to say about geometry. I couldn't think about it. Not only short distance between three is a straight point, but if you stay on that straight line, if you get off one little degree and don't make no correction, you're going to end up way out there somewhere. But you think, because you just a little small adjustment I made, that it don't matter. But if you don't get back on that track, if you don't get back on that direction that God, and sometimes that what the apostle does. His job is to jerk us back into the place. Yeah. See, we got to see that. Correction is good. Yeah. Correct me. Because I don't like to mess up. I don't like the error. And so I need a slight jerk out of me sometime to get back on track. Go back where I call you to be. But Saul trying to lie his way out. This could have been a test for correction here. This could have been, God could have forgave him if he wouldn't go try to make up lies and try to renege out of what he did wrong. No, but he stayed with it the whole way. Some people stay with it wrong the whole way, trying to save face. His job was to save face before the people. Because if you notice, later on, I didn't mean to read the whole chapter, but we headed that way. Later on, you're going to see that he's going to ask Saul, come with me before the people and honor me before the people anyway. My goodness. Your job to please God or to please the people? Lord, deliver me from the people. You ought to say that for yourself. Lord, deliver me from the people. See, people will kill you and then make another king. I'm telling you. Now, watch this now. Watch. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy you. He's rehearsing. This is what I told you the first time. Go and destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, he still wouldn't let go. That's two times God gave him a chance to repent. And sometimes the third time might be too late. God might warn you one time. And you see, remember in the book of Revelation, where there was a space to repent? I think he missed his space. I think the prophet challenging him was his space to repent and to acknowledge what he did wrong. I think God would have spared him. He may have still been king. But he missed his opportunity. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Acknowledge you're wrong. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your mistake. Acknowledge your shortcoming. I missed it. Forgive me. I didn't do what you tell me to do. I forgot what you said. It wasn't plain enough to me. I couldn't understand it clearly. I mean, say something. Help yourself. Get out of the hands of the enemy. The scripture said we should recover ourselves from his hand. But he went back and heard the same thing. I said, good Lord, this man here, he's totally deceived. You don't want to be that deceived. And Saul said to Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag. God didn't ask for no Agag king. Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite, but the people. You see, look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to underline this in my own Bible just now. Underline, but the people. That excuse didn't rescue him, didn't deliver him. Didn't excuse him. God didn't excuse him. God didn't pay no mind to this statement here. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and ox. Well, who king? The people or you? And the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. Here's the reason here that for to help him. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, you know, a prophet always got a word from God. Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You see, sometimes sacrifice is easy. Sometimes sacrifice is an excuse. Sometimes sacrifice is a substitute to doing what God said. You with me? Don't let sacrifice replace obedience. Because sometimes your sacrifice doesn't move God, especially when your heart's not in the sacrifice. Their heart wasn't in the sacrifice. That sacrifice was to appease themselves and to glorify themselves. As I go on, you're going to see what this sacrifice was meant to do. It was to honor Saul as great king and to make him look like a greater king. Don't try to make yourself look good by your sacrifice. Don't let your sacrifice be a show-off. Don't let your offering be a show-off. Let it be from your heart. Are you with me? Because God judges all things. Amen. Now watch this now. Watch. And Samuel said, had the Lord had great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice and in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of ram. He put obedience way up top. Now this is the 23rd verse. People don't like this word. Almost, it sounds like a bad word because sometimes you don't want to You don't want to add it up to this word because we all think we're not rebellious. But some areas, we're all rebellious. Whether we acknowledge it, say it or not. Rebellious is, you know what some word for rebellious? Rebellion is, Lord, not your will, my will. Rebellion is not doing what the Lord said, but doing what I want to do. All right? Rebellion, for rebellion is that the sin of witchcraft. He mixed rebellion with the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity. He was stubborn when he refused to acknowledge his sin. As iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Now watch. Let's drop down to that last verse. I'm going to show you something here that blessed me. In that 35th verse. You see it? And Samuel, see, sometimes we got trouble here. This verse here, we got trouble with this verse. Because sometimes when people rebel against God, and sometimes people might even leave the ministry because they can't have things their way or do things their way or couldn't handle certain correction. But the scripture said, look what this says right here. And so I don't know how. Whoever separated themselves from apostles separated themselves from me. I just come out and say that. I didn't say that. Amen. I'm going to tell you why I say it. Look at this 35th verse. 35th verse said, and Samuel came no more to see Saul. He separated himself from Saul until the day. Where I'm at now, until the day of his death. Nevertheless, that don't mean Samuel didn't love Saul. See, we got that mixed up. What love got to do with it? No, sometimes you get in error, and sometimes error like yeast, like leaven, leaven. I never could get that word right, leaven or leaven. It spreads. And you hang around rebellious people, they're going to say something that's going to get in your ear, and you're going to ride that wave. So you know you might be right. So I'll separate myself. Because I don't want nothing in my heart that don't need to be in my heart. And look what the next part of the verse said. Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. But why that first verse of the 16th chapter? And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? Wow. You see, sometimes we try to carry this thing. And sometimes we try to hold on to something. When the Lord said, I didn't turn it loose, you turn it loose. How long are you going to mourn for Saul? You didn't have nothing to do with it. All you did was say what I say. I rejected him. And what God was doing is taking that burden off of Saul and let him know that you ain't supposed to be carrying this weight. I did it. You just did what I told you to do. Go on with your life. Go on with what I told you to do. Go on with your ministry. Go on with your family. And stop carrying everybody's burden. Oh, poor little thing. No, they made themselves the poor little thing. Amen. I didn't say that too. All right. Now, let's see a man. I'm almost through. Let's see a man that did this right. You see, I just don't want to keep talking about somebody did it wrong. There's always somebody did it right. Besides Jesus, a man like us did it right. Let's go over to 1 Samuel 24. Now, let me bring you up to speed now. All this time now, Saul's still king, But God, in his 2016 chapter, told Samuel, go anoint one of Jesse's sons. I'm going to tell you which one it is when you get there. And so he anointed David as king. Now they got two kings, one on the throne that's been dethroned and one yet to be on the throne. And David could at any time, see, Saul was after him because Saul was jealous, and Saul got wind that David was anointed king. Because Saul was saying, we know two kings here. So he wanted to kill David. And David started fleeing to different places because he didn't want to come against Saul because he still recognized Saul as God's anointed. All right? Now David had knitted their souls together with Jonathan, Saul's son. They become friends, and God said their heart was knitted together. Now, over this 24th chapter here, we're going to see how David handled the situation. In the same situation, try to come up with David with his men, but David corrected his men. Why? Because he was a king. And why? Because he had God's heart. And why? And he understood authority. When you understand authority, you're going to do what God said to do, and God going to put his spirit of submission upon you. You cannot be in authority unless you submit it. God will not submit someone that don't know how to be. God will not make an authority someone who don't know. Let me say this right. God will not make an authority someone who don't know how to submit. You make yourself an authority. And you make yourself an authority, you surely will fall. All right? Now, watch this now. In the 24th chapter? All right, 1 Samuel 24. We're going to see a man that did this right. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter on this one here. Okay. Here it is. Get this page and stuff. Here it is. All right. Now, and so it was so, and it came to pass, 21st verse, when Saul was returned from following the Philistine, that it was told him, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. They were in the same place together, but David was in the recessed part of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, now watch this. Don't never let people get too close to you and be able to influence you to do something with some ideas that God ain't told you. See? Apostle told us to keep ourselves in arm's length distance. Don't let nobody get too close to you. What that do? Sometimes people want you to do what they want you to do. They might not come out straight out and say it, but they insinuate certain things. And what happened is David men insinuating something to him. This looks like the ideal time. Thus said the Lord. Sometimes people even say that. One man told me one time, boy, look, he said, he's prophesied to me. And I learned a lesson a long time ago. We were way back at the old church. He said, the Lord told me that by the end of this year, you're going to be in full-time ministry. Instead of me getting excited, it put me in bondage. It locked me down because I didn't want to go in full-time ministry. It locked me down. I didn't get free up until December 31st. I was so glad that year was over. So I'm not taking the word from nobody that don't agree with my spirit. I took a hold of that word, you see, because he was a good brother. And you know, he was a likable person. And sometimes seemed like he knew what he was talking about, but not that day. I learned, don't let nobody whisper in your ear what the Lord said, prophesy to you. Nobody except my apostle. Amen. I trust him. Amen. Now, look what these men said. And then, fourth verse. And the men of David said unto him, behold, thus saith the Lord. No, he didn't say that. The men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemies into thy hand, that thou mayest do to them as it shall seem good unto thee. You see, what happened, what they were saying is, the Lord, David, this is no accident, man. That's God had put Saul right here before us. And now this is the will of the Lord, man. Let's take this opportunity. You kill him now, you can go straight to the throne. No more running. No more hiding these. I don't like these old cold caves, no way. No more hiding these old caves. No more being away from my family for months because running with you. You can kill him now. We all go home and be at peace and everything be king, and then you can make me one of your leaders. I'm saying all to say this. Sometimes people make it sound good to you for their advantage. See, human beings are selfish. Look out for number one. And never the will of God. Most of the time. You know. But now they're telling him. Now they're telling him this. They're telling him, let's do this, man. Let's do this. Now, why David? Now, watch. Why David? And look, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately, without him knowing it. Now, just like he cut off the skirt of his robe, he could have cut Saul's throat as well. But something in David wouldn't let him do so. Something in David changed his mind. Now look, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. Know what smote mean? It, like we would say, I became convicted. I realized what I did was wrong. Anybody ever did anything, boy, and your heart smote them? I remember a long time ago, one of our members that went home to be with the Lord, an apostle sent me on as an assignment to go. And I stayed with the family all that day, you know, at the hospital, all that evening. And you ever had one of them hungry headaches? One of them hungry headaches. No. I hadn't eaten, and I was just hurting. And so when the family came to the house, I went to the house with the family. And then I'm about to leave, then an apostle walked in the door. And I knew I couldn't leave my apostle. Been there, and I'm hurting, got the whole hunger headed. And my apostle walked in the door, and I said, man, I can't leave now, apostle here. Well, what do I do? How would I abandon my apostle? And then I asked him, I said, Pastor, I said, is it all right if I go? You know how he is. Okay, son, go ahead. But when I left, my heart smote me. And it hurt. I said, Lord, I shouldn't have left my apostle. You see it? But I left my hungry head. I mean, that's not the same. I'm just showing you what happens sometimes when your heart smote you. You recognize by the Spirit of God, that what I did was wrong. I should never abandon my apostle. I should have stayed with him. You see? No matter what, I should have stayed with him. And it bothered me until I went back and I said, Apostle, I should, I said, Apostle, I shouldn't have left you. So, no. He said, no, I shouldn't have left you. I should have stayed with you. And then I felt better after I went back and, you know, apologized to him. I felt like it would do. Some people never apologize for nothing. So they figured they was right. Sometimes a good apology goes a long way. It frees you up. And he wasn't even thinking about it. But it was on my mind. I couldn't rest until I talked to him and let him know. Anyway, David's heart smote him because he realized what was wrong. Now watch what he's going to do with men now, what Saul should have done. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I do this thing. You see it? Unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Man, that's submission. Man trying to kill him. That's honor. So David stayed his servant. You see that word stayed? I mean corrected his servant. What Saul should have done with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went his way. Amen. Amen. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.